Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, providing knowledge, professionalism, and information on insurance issues, commercial or pleasure, boat and crew. Petersburg Insurance, offering asset protection on the water or at home.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All righty. And maybe have a roll call.
Kurt?
Here.
Nancy? Bob?
Here.
Cindy?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
Mark? John?
Here.
The next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes from May 18th, 2015. May I have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
It's been moved by John Haverlick, seconded by Bob Lind. To approve the minutes, is there any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Approval of the minutes passes. Do we have any amendments for this upcoming agenda?
Cindy Kurt. I'd like to maybe put under assembly discussion how things are going with the municipal building remodel.
All right.
And the funding and all that stuff that goes with it.
Is there anything else? And do we have an approval of the immediate meeting agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Jay Stanton Greger, seconded by John Haverlick. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Meeting agenda is approved. Moving on to public hearings and bid awards. The first item on the agenda is 15-193, public hearing on ordinance 2015-02, an ordinance providing for a farm property tax exemption and submitting the ordinance to the voters. Is there anyone who would like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item, public hearing on ordinance 2015-07. An ordinance amending section 4.33 of the Petersburg Borough Code to establish a transient room tax fund and rescind resolution number 2004, which had established guidelines for appropriation of funds generated by the transient room tax. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak to that item? And seeing none, we'll move on to item C. Public hearing on ordinance 2015-08, an ordinance declaring that property conveyed to the borough in a tax foreclosure proceeding is not required for a public purpose and shall be disposed of by the borough. Is there anyone who would like to speak to that issue? And seeing none, we'll move on to item D. Public hearing on ordinance 2015-09, an ordinance declaring that a property conveyed to the borough in a tax foreclosure proceeding is not required for a public purpose and shall be disposed of by the borough. Any speakers to this issue? And seeing none, we'll move on to item E, public hearing of ordinance 2015-10, an ordinance amending the City of Petersburg Ordinance 940 relating to the Board of Directors of the Southeast Alaska Solid Waste Authority to add provisions for an alternative director. Is there anyone who wishes to speak to that issue? Seeing none, I want to acknowledge that Nancy Strand is now present. And item F on our bid award list is Public Works Crushed Rock Bid Award. The Public Works Department received two qualified bids for crushed rock. Director Carl Hagerman is recommending to award the supply of 2,000 tons of crushed rock leveling course and 500 tons of Type 2A 3-inch minus to Rock and Road Construction of Petersburg for an amount not to exceed $37,000. And I'm... So we're not... That's just a hearing, isn't it?
No, that's actually a bid award.
That's the actually bid award.
Need a motion and a second.
Okay. And so do I have a motion to approve that?
So moved.
Second.
John Haverlick moved and Nancy Strand seconded to award Rock and Road $37,000, or not to exceed, an amount not to exceed $37,000 for crushed rock. And is there any discussion? Will the clerk call the roll? The vote.
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes. And the next item is item G, wastewater telehandler purchase award. Public Works Director Carl Hagerman is recommending purchasing a wastewater department replacement forklift through the National Joint Purchasing Alliance. Use of this service is authorized under Borough Code Article 4.04.040.G. The Assembly previously approved a purchase price of $58,233,000 for the forklift. The price quoted from Bobcat of Juneau, utilizing the NJPA contract, is $62,656.66. Do I have a motion?
I move that we approve the purchase of the forklift for $62,656.66.
Second.
John Haverlick moves and Nancy Strand seconds the motion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Bob?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes. And that motion, that bid is awarded. Moving on to visitors' views related to the agenda, is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak to an item on the agenda? There are none, so moving on to visitors' views unrelated to the agenda, is there anyone who would like to speak? Please come up to the microphone and state your name.
Thank you. My name is Dr. James Baker. I represent myself and the idea of making the borough some money. Recently, I submitted a proposal to the subcommittee of the Marijuana Committee to form a public development authority to obtain the state license to grow, process, and sell recreational marijuana. The borough would just tax it. Well, on May 13th, I met with the mayor of North Bonneville, Washington, the Honorable Don Stevens, the first municipality through a public development authority to own a dispensary. And basically, Mayor Stevens has offered to speak to our assembly regarding the setup of the PDA and the current status of their dispensary. And basically, I am asking for the borough's blessing to invite the mayor to speak this fall. At the cost of this private citizen's own venture, I'll pay for it. He's coming up. And I'm not familiar with the protocol on how to do this. I'm not a politician. I'm just a master grower. So I appreciate your consideration in this matter. And it's a good day, so have a good day. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Would you like me to answer some of that for you?
I was going to say, I think actually anyone can speak to the assembly at any time, but go ahead.
If the assembly wanted it actually on an agenda, just have to set the date and time, and we can schedule it in.
Is there a time that's preferable?
The fall was the best for him. He's a hardworking mayor, just like our mayor, and the fall, he said, would be the very best.
Well, then I would say we'll have the clerk and the mayor work with you and pick a best date and we can put it on the agenda.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is, are there any other visitors' views unrelated to the agenda? Okay. Next item, board, commission, and committee reports. There were none filed. Does anybody have a report they wish to share? The next item is consent agenda, and there are two items on the consent agenda. The first is 15-186, authorization to accept grant funds in the amount of $2,500 from the Petersburg Community Foundation, and these funds will be used to expand and enhance youth programming at the library, using STEAM, which stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Math Concepts. The grant will pay for instructor stipends and supplies. Do I have a motion to accept the grant? Oh, I guess we don't need one on the consent agenda. And the other item is the authorization to accept grant funds in the amount of $8,800 from the Alaska State Library. These also will be used to expand and enhance youth programming at the library for STEAM concepts, and the grant will pay for equipment, instructor stipends, and supplies. And moving on to the mayor's report.
You need a motion to approve the whole consent
agenda. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
John Haverlick moved and Nancy Strand seconded to accept the consent agenda. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll? Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
And thank you, Steve, for keeping me straight.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. The next item on the agenda is the mayor's report, and there was no written report filed, so we will move on to the manager's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just kind of a reminder to the public, May is the time to renew your launch permits after June 1st. So tickets will be issued for non-compliance. So see GLOW if you have any questions. Western Marine came to town at the end of last week and sealed the grouted seams at the crane dock. Means we're at the point where we should be closing that project out, and we'll finalize that up with the state. Tuesday, May 12th, the Harbor Department had our kind of surprise visit that happens every year from Coast Guard Homeland Security to basically review our handling of issues related to the Homeland Security plan. We passed with no deficiencies. The 26th of May, Eddie Tagabon and Officer Jim Kerr traveled to Wrangell to attend the meeting with the captain of the port to discuss Homeland Security and other Coast Guard issues. It's a required annual meeting. As everyone has probably noticed, SECON, Rockin' Road, and others are working on the roads. The big work here on the gravity sewer here on Singley Alley, it's slow. It's one of our deepest sections of pipe that we've got, so they're taking the time, doing a really good job on it. They're going to be on Haugen Drive and starting on sidewalk curb and gutter replacements, have you seen? And just a reminder to the public, please don't run into our assembly members who are flagging or anyone else that are out there. For those people who are concerned, we did actually use up all of our supply of dust control chemicals with the dry weather. We have ordered another load and it's on its way. As soon as it gets here, we will make sure we're back out applying that. We did wait until after Memorial Day to begin work on the columbarium, and we've got the foundation started. Once the rock pad has been constructed, we'll have a concrete foundation for the four columbarium units we formed and poured by public works staff. The wastewater staff and public works completed the cleanup of the landfill sludge pit that kind of slid down the hill, put in reinstalled the perimeter fence, and we are waiting for ADEC on their final report to close out that incident. Don't believe we've gotten the water testing results back, but the early on was that there were no fecal coliform issues in the water sample, and we assumed did not show any increased concentrations above normally tested levels, but we're waiting for that report from ADEC. We did not get the grant from the Curbside Value Partnership for the carts, although they'd like to work with us on strategies for continued rollout of our cart-based recycling program. Sanitation will follow up with the agency as we get to the point of public education and see if they can help us with any of that. thanks to PIA, you've noticed they've commenced work on the 3rd Street sidewalk, curb, and gutter. It's part of their annual sidewalk work they do for the borough. The road will be closed while they're doing that between XL and Dolphin, and just to make sure they're safe and doesn't slow their work down. Once 3rd Street is complete, they will move to Dolphin Street in front of the elementary school to replace sidewalks during the summer school break. Knick Construction has completed their work out at the airport and also paved out at the AML yard. We had hoped to use some of their, while they had the asphalt plant here, do some road work. They used up all their aggregate, and so instead of in trade, they'll be paying us for the space that they had out in the gravel pit. We're going to try to work with Secon, who has their asphalt plant here, to see if we can get some in-trade road work done while we've got that plant here. So it's kind of important with these two big projects, well, the big DOT project and the airport project. Once they're done, the likelihood of having an asphalt plant here without us having to pay for it starts to go away. The assumption is DOT won't be doing a lot of other big projects, so we're going to try to take full advantage of all that plants here. Our selection process for our current police officer opening has been underway for a while. We haven't had a tremendous amount of luck. Preliminary background investigations were completed. Testing and interviews were in process. We invited 9 applicants into the selection process. 3 chose to be participants, and none of them we are extending offers to at this point. We're kind of starting over. We're going back to some of the folks who self-selected out because of either travel problems or scheduling to see if they may want to rethink being involved, and potentially we're trying to look and see what we can do to help them offset travel costs if they end up being a good candidate. So we're still working on that. Department of Corrections has released their proposed municipal jail funding plan. We think it's pretty final, but until the legislature approves it, it's basically proposed. The plan does result in a 45% reduction in our jail funding to $173,000. We had assumed a reduction when we built our budget. We put in $220,000 down from $320,000, so we assumed a fairly significant cut. They cut it a little bit further, so we're about $47,000 upside down in that area. We did, however, over budget on the community revenue sharing budget, so we will not have to. We'll do a supplemental budget later, but we're not worried about making up that difference. So, again, though, part of the problem is nothing's official until the governor signs a budget, and the legislature hasn't agreed to one as of yet. We received some of our final surplus materials from the contractor on the library. We've been waiting for that for a while. Got one more piece of documentation from the contractor. We will then make the final payment, which we've been withholding, and we'll close out that contract. Community Development is reporting summer construction is here. There are 3 large commercial projects underway, as well as several residential projects. So despite everything, there's building happening. Over 25 tons of ice distributed by the cold storage in May. Derby weekend was particularly busy, and we went through 4 to 5 large totes of ice per day up there. So that's part of the community service that's done by the cold storage. Liz Cabrera, this is kind of one of the takeaways from our comprehensive plan process. One of the big things that was talked about a lot by folks was more career and technical education. It's tough with the funding that the school has right now, but she has met with high school principal Rick Dormer to kind of talk about different ideas that may come into play down the road to expand those kind of programs. Most likely will have to be done internal without state support, but we're at least looking at them and at least starting those conversations. You got a couple items that were actually not on my written report to add. They kind of came up after the fact. Kind of a Reminder, summer camp at Parks and Rec will begin on June 8th. So if you have kids interested in that, get to it. Library, we would close on June 15th to switch over to our new catalog. It's a big deal. We'll actually get added materials as part of the deal and an 80% less annual maintenance cost as we partner with the state on that. So we could save money and actually have more material. So that's good news. And registration is now open for the summer reading challenge at the library. The last one is the not so good news. If you haven't heard or dealt with it, the boilers at the Parks and Rec facility, primarily for the pool, burned up. I don't know the right way to call it. One of them, all of the wiring is shot. The other is potentially recoverable. We did not want to pay double time and a half, so we could not, we didn't get the tech here. They supposedly are on the morning jet. So we'll know the next day or two if the one boiler can be fixed, and as part of that process, if that happens, we can run the pool. It might, requires a certain amount of babysitting to run it with only one boiler, but we think we can make that happen. What we're looking for is him to tell us, number one, why it happened, and number two, on the second boiler, where basically everything burned up, is it a brand new boiler or is it something that could actually be replaced? At this point, we just don't know. The wiring's gone. The control units are gone. We don't know if the heating elements are destroyed or not. The tech will tell us, and it's kind of a one step at a time. Like I said, we kind of want to know, can it be fixed, but also what caused it to happen. And that's everything. Sorry. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is unfinished business, and we have one ordinance for third and final reading. It's ordinance 15.07, an ordinance amending section 4.33 of the Petersburg Borough Code to establish a transient room tax fund and rescind resolution 2004, which had established guidelines for appropriation of funds generated by the transient room tax. Do I have a motion?
So move.
Second.
It's been moved by John Haverwick and seconded by Kurt Wallhuter to approve the motion. Do we have any discussion? And I am going to abstain from this. I was happy to vote to move it forward, but where I work for the chamber, I am going to abstain on voting on the final vote. Will the clerk please call for the vote?
Jay.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
And that motion is approved, or that ordinance is approved. Moving on to ordinances for second reading, the very first one is ordinance 1502, an ordinance providing for a farm property tax exemption and submitting the ordinance to the voters. And this was something that was discussed by the assembly earlier in the year, and we decided to move it to this time of the year. And the ordinance provides for a property tax exemption for farm structures when a landowner meets specific requirements. The ordinance has been amended since its first reading for clarity by legal counsel, and if approved by the assembly, the ordinance will be submitted to the voters for ratification at the October 6, 2015 municipal election. At the February 2, 2015 meeting, the Borough Assembly voted to postpone the second reading of the ordinance until the first meeting in June to allow the Alaska legislature to rule on Alaska's new marijuana law. To our knowledge, this ruling has not taken place. So what's your pleasure? Is there a motion to move this forward?
Yeah, for the sake of discussion, so moved.
Is there a second?
And I'll second it just for the sake of discussion.
It's been moved by Jay Stanton Gregor, seconded by Kurt Wallhuter, and discussion. John?
Yes, I wasn't here during the first reading of this, but I'm not in favor of two reasons. One, because it's basically for one person at this time, And I hate to see an ordinance be promoted for just one or two people in our whole borough. I think that sets a bad precedent. And the other thing I'm concerned about is the precedence of having a tax loophole like this, because I think it could apply to many, many more things that we really don't want to get into and we can't afford to lose the money on. One that comes to mind, if you read this in a certain way, it could apply to fishing. So anybody's boats, the canneries, because fishing is in many areas considered farming, and any of these people that bring in the fish or process the fish, you know, this is just one example, but it could be easily interpreted to that could be part of this exemption. And also, if it isn't interpreted that way, I think those people would have the right of saying, you made something similar, why can't you make an exception for us? And which would cost us a fortune in tax revenue, which, you know, we can't afford. So those are the two problems I have with this issue and this ordinance.
Yes, Jay.
Yeah, I was the one who brought this up in March, I believe. I like the idea of encouraging agricultural production in Southeast, because it is so challenging. Going to the Southeast Growers Conference, I met a lot of folks who are facing many of those challenges. Where I got hung up, and now definitely am stuck, is the exemption would also apply to marijuana production at this point, whereas agricultural activity for food processing is low profit margin and a grind, to say the least. I really like the idea of supporting that. Marijuana production is a high profit margin business, and the way the state has it lined out right now, marijuana production would be included in this. And based on that information, I cannot approve the ordinance.
Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Jay.
No.
Bob.
No.
Cindy.
No.
John.
No.
Kurt.
No.
Nancy.
No.
And that ordinance fails. In second reading. The next item on the agenda is Ordinance 1508, an ordinance declaring that property conveyed to the borough in a tax foreclosure proceeding is not required for a public purpose and shall be disposed of by the borough. And the property that is being discussed is Lot 5W, located on Lumber Street. Do I have a motion on this ordinance?
So moved.
Second.
Nancy Strand moves and Bob Lynn seconds to approve the ordinance. Is there any discussion? John?
I have a question, and I guess this is for Steve. Do we have to do this every time we have property, or it seems like it should be a general ordinance that would take care of this whenever it came up?
Per our attorney, we had to go through this process.
So we'll have to do it for every property that comes up?
Jody, is that your understanding as well?
That's correct. And this is only the second, third foreclosure we've had in since I've been here in 9 years. So it doesn't come up very often.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Cindy.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
And that ordinance passes. The next item on the agenda is Ordinance 2015-09, an ordinance declaring that property conveyed to the borough in a tax foreclosure proceeding is not required for a public purpose and shall be disposed of by the borough. And that is Lot 7W in Island Court.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by John Haverlick and seconded by Nancy Strand to accept the motion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes, and that ordinance passes unanimously. Moving on to ordinance 15-10, an ordinance amending the City of Petersburg Ordinance 940 relating to the Board of Directors of the Southeast Alaska Solid Waste Authority to add provisions for an alternate director. The CSWAB Board of Directors has requested each member community appoint an alternate board director to serve in the primary director's absence to increase the ability of each community to provide an approved voting participant at every monthly teleconference meeting. And do I?
So move.
Okay.
Second.
It's been moved by John Haverlick, seconded by Nancy Strand. Is there any discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
Jay?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes. And that ordinance is approved unanimously. Moving on to new business, item 15-183 is the approval to award the Middle Harbor Repair Project under the Borough's Local Bidder Preference Ordinance 4.04.050 and authorization to issue the intent to award notification to the bidders for the Middle Harbor Repair Project.
So moved.
I'd like to at least read this so that the public understands. The Middle Harbor Repair Project received two qualified bids, one of which is from Tamiko, the local company. Tamiko's bid qualified for the local bidder preference. The bids on the project are within the 5% local bidder qualification. The Borough's Ordinance 4.04.050 states that the award of a local bidder preference is at the discretion of the Borough Assembly. Upon the Assembly's decision at the June 1st meeting, 2015, today, staff will issue the intent to award letter to the two responsible and qualified bidders and then ask the Assembly to formally award the contract at the June 15, 2015 Assembly meeting.
I move to invoke the local preference priority and to award the bid to Tamiko for $165,500.
It is the wrong amount.
It's bid.
$172,300.
Could I mention why I put that in or not? Should I wait for discussion?
I think that should wait for discussion.
Sure. I'll second it for the sake of discussion.
Okay.
And the reason the low bid was $165,500, and I do want to have use our local preference, and Tamiko has done a great job for us, and so has Western Bridge, though. But I don't want us to have to pay the extra $7,000 that Tamiko bid. So I would like them to honor the low bid that's there. Again, I don't want the taxpayers or the harbor to have to make up the $7,000. And just knowing insurance companies, if they reimburse, they'll reimburse at the low number rather than the higher one. So I don't want us to have to pay that.
And I just want to clarify the amount that you have.
$165,500.
Okay.
Which was the amount of the low bid.
Okay,
if I may. Sorry.
A question of legality
of allowing that. It's like they can make a bid
when they know what the low bid was. They can make their own bid. I just question the legality of changing their amount.
For the Assembly's benefit and the public. When we received these bids, Glow and I got the attorney involved specifically because since this ordinance has been rewritten, we had not previously had this come up. The Assembly, what you're voting on today is to basically tell us who you intend to award at the next meeting because we need to send what's called the intent to award letter out. Nancy's correct. We have to accept one bid or the other, or the assembly does. We can't accept one bid and then turn around and ask them to change the dollar amount. That doesn't work with the way our ordinance currently is written, and I'm not sure what the state statutes. So what the assembly has to weigh is it's about $6,800 difference. Temeco's bids that much higher, but is less than the 5%, which is what we're authorized by ordinance to give. The add-on issue to that is that this is an insurance case, and you know, I wanted to bring it to the assembly's attention. There's a possibility that the insurance company that we are going to be asking to pay us all of this may not honor the low bid or the local bidder preference, that they in turn will say, no, you had a low bid that was less, and when it comes to reimbursing us, may not reimburse us that $6,800. So for full disclosure purposes, I wanted the assembly to know that even though this is an insurance case and we're expecting to receive all of this money back, there's a chance the insurance company wouldn't honor that. We would bring that back to the assembly, and potentially that would become an issue of litigation. But up front, just know that that's a possibility. But what we need today from the assembly is to decide, you know, do you want to invoke the local bidder preference, in which case Temeco would get the bid for the amount they bid through the process. Was it 175?
172.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, that's what the attorney has said our options are.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. This is the first time we've used this ordinance. So can you enlighten me a little bit about the pros and cons of this? Essentially sets a precedent, I think, mm-hmm. on this ordinance. Can you give me some pros and cons of what you see in the future, or what problems it might cause and what the advantages are?
The way the ordinance reads is there's a couple of, I mean, the big cap is that any project over $500,000, the local bidder preference does not come into play. Anything under that, there's an issue. We have not had this come up because our smaller projects tend to be just local bidders bidding on it, so it has not come up. So this is the first time we've had this since this ordinance was rewritten. Pros and cons. Pros is you're supporting the local business community. You know, the assumption is that money circulates in town, and that 5%, up to 5% difference, we make it more than make it back in the fact that these folks are spending money here in town, since their business is based here. Cons are exactly that. I mean, you even though this is, the ordinance is written in a way to allow assembly discretion on this, my assumption is you would run under pressure on any future bids that, you know, why did you offer it this time but not the next time? You'd have to have very good reasons for that, or be subject to somebody complaining about it. So I think the $500,000 cap was one way to try to mitigate how much you're willing to spend to have local bidder preference built in. But that's, I mean, you're correct in the sense that it starts to set a precedent.
Thank you.
Did you have a comment, Kurt?
I'm trying to think this through. I think Steve hit on a few of the points that I was going to make, was that most of the people that are working for Temeco are locals. You know, they are going to bring their money back to town. But we've had some great work done by Western Dock and Bridge too, you know, over the past, and good company, you know. So if we're comparing apples to apples, I'm sure they're both going to do exactly the same job. It's just that the $7,000 or $6,800 to, you know, something that I want to quibble over, you know, giving it to the lowest bidder, or do I want to keep the money circulated in the community? And so with that argument, I think I'm going to vote that we give it to Temeco. That would be, for me, my personal opinion. So,
question for Glow. Is that all right, Glow? Since it's your letter I'm reading here, recommending this, why do you recommend it that we use Temeco?
Well, primarily because that's what the code says. So, you know, that's following the rules you guys set up. So that's kind of why I came down. Now, again, all the apples to apples, the two companies, Western Dock and Bridge, actually built the float system originally.
Yep.
And Tamiko is going to do just as well the job. They probably will both go to the same outfit that the manufacturer that built it originally, J.R. Reynolds. So we'll probably build it. And so it's really about the installation. So.
Oh, thanks, Glo.
Yeah.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Wait, what are we voting on, right? Yeah. The 160.
We're voting on the 165.5.
Yeah, but have a look forward. Okay.
Nancy?
Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry. We're voting on.
John had moved.
Right.
We award it to Tamiko.
Tamiko for 165.5. Which is illegal.
Potentially, yes.
So I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to vote no for that.
I'd like to amend my motion, just simply to say I'd like to award this bid to Tamiko.
To the amendment.
Okay.
If that's
any further discussion?
Yeah. Sure. Question for the manager. Is it going to work like that? Just moving to approve it just for Tamiko, or do we need to assign the dollar value to it at this point?
You're fine. We have the bids that were actually cool. Submitted. So what we'll do, and again, just to be clear, based on how you vote, we will send the notice of intent to award to both contractors. In this case, we'd put, if that motion passes, we'd say Tamiko for the amount that they bid. Then, assuming no challenges or any other issues, we'd bring it back to the Assembly on the 15th meeting and ask you to award it at that point.
Thank you, Mr. Manager.
You're welcome, sir.
Anyone else? All right.
Nancy.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Jay.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
And that bid award, intent to award, passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda is communications. Does anyone have any communications to report? And hearing none, the next item is Assembly discussion items. And before we get to recognitions, Assembly Member Wallhuter had asked that we discuss the municipal building remodel status. Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay. At the current time, we are waiting for the architect and his staff to build cost numbers, basically an updated number that tells us between the time they estimated until the time today, and they've got a lot more detail on the project, what's it going to cost to build the building that's been outlined. Once those numbers hit my desk, it becomes a Jody and I project to see, can we come up with some magical way to fund it? And the answer to that is I'm not sure right now. Excuse me. So I'm not sure right now. Once those cost numbers come in, we will be in a position where they're either higher than what was previously forecast, lower than what was, or the same. And with not receiving any more legislative money, we'll be in a position, can we cobble together the funds to build it or not? So I can't answer what I'll be recommending to you until we actually get those cost numbers. We're expecting them, sometime in this month. I don't know if they'll be here in time for the next meeting or not. We'll probably need at least a week to kind of play with them and find out, can we go back, can we cut things? In the meantime, we're also looking at, and that'll be the meeting that will actually bring him here, the architect, and with the sole purpose of asking questions. Can we, if it's too high, what can we cut? How can we adjust the project? I don't really want to necessarily go there till we know what those costs are, though, because right now I just don't know. I mean, the project could come in 20% over budget, and we're basically telling you we don't have the money at that point, and he may say there's no way to cut 20% out of it. So We're kind of in a holding pattern, waiting for those cost numbers.
I guess one of my concerns is he aware that we have somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 million to work with? And it looks like it's probably going to be a snowball's chance that we're going to see any more money from anywhere. Because I do not want to dip into budget reserves or ask the public to pay for something. But we definitely need, you know, to do something with, you know, what we have now is totally inadequate. I understand that. So,
yeah. At this point, what he's doing is taking the previous project that's been talked about, and they're, now that it's designed, so to speak, they're having basically cost estimators look at it to say, I mean, down to the level of what's that outlet going to cost and what's that siding, and they're going to come back and they're going to have a number. And that's why I need time once those numbers hit here, because then it becomes that. What can we cut? How much money do we have before I ever bring it back to you folks? I mean, I can definitely bring all of that to you if that's what the assembly wants, but most of the time we were going to do that in the back office. Basically, here's the project, it's too expensive, what can we cut? And that comes down to us and Kelly's group trying to figure out, you know, what can we live without? But again, it starts with, what are those numbers? We don't know. We know what the original project was budgeted. We don't know if prices have fallen. I mean, my guess is they haven't, but you never know. There's a lot less work going on right now, or that they've gone up a bunch, and that's what we're waiting on.
So. One more question. Is this a project that would be too weighty for, say, the Public Safety Board to jump in on and have their concerns met? Is that something, Kelly, you would want to work with? Would you work with the Public Safety Board after he gets his numbers and see if we can where we can cut and what's minimal and what's, or is it just going to be something that Steve, you're going to do with Jody and I mean, I was just thinking more public input, I think, the better, because I've been in on a lot of projects with the Harbor Board and spent tens of millions of dollars with seven members that were elected, you know, that made sure that all the input was there, costs were cut out of it if we couldn't afford it, things like that, you know, by having a broader spectrum of people look at it. So I was just wondering if that mechanism's available to you guys on this project.
Sure. I mean, it's whatever. I mean, there are certain things that the Public Safety Advisory Board, I think, could have some value weighing in on. I mean, an example would be, you know, how many cells do we decide to put in it if we're going to be offering less services for what we get? And there's a certain amount of overkill, too, meaning can they weigh in on what type of data ports we're going to put? Yeah. You know, so it's kind of one of those, until we get the numbers and then we sit there with the architect and say, tell us which parts are expensive, where can we give, where can we not? You know, I think public input's always important. That's a good group to take stuff through, and we'll do more of that. But I've got to see, I'd kind of like to see what the numbers are. We have not had an update on these costs for, what, 2 years now? I mean, I have no clue what's happened to the numbers. I mean, they could have gone up by 50%, in which case, you know, we're back to square one, or projects' costs have gone down as contractors have gotten more desperate. I just don't know.
Well, the board has approved the concept.
Beyond just the public safety part of it, so we would need to portion that out. But yeah, we didn't give.
Sorry,
I was just going to let the assembly know that the Public Safety Advisory Board did approve the concept.
Okay.
So we're still waiting on the final figures.
Okay.
Was there any, when we went back to the architect, refresh my memory, did we give any criteria of facing it and or reducing any part of it, Steve? I don't remember.
The phasing we've talked about was not in the sense of doing one part of the project and not doing another until later. It was more along the lines of, we can't uproot the police department, so can you work on parts of the building, then move them, and then come back behind them? So, and we've got a method to do that. The next stage, based on what these cost numbers are going to be, could potentially be something exactly like that, where we say, no, we're only going to fund the police department, and we're not going to do the admin area. The problem with that is then we're locking ourselves into renting space for some very long period of time, and back to it, that becomes a numbers game. That's Jody and I sitting there saying, you know, if we're gonna wait 2 years or 3 years more to finish it, how much are we gonna pay in rent during that time as compared to paying it and getting the project done? And I just don't know. Big part of the challenge with this project is even the pieces that you might say are involved with the admin finance area are still part of the building shell, which is like the heating we're upgrading, the insulation, the siding, all in the structural piece of it, all that has to be done as part of the PD itself that admin gets advantage of. We really, when it comes down to construction part of admin and finance, it's a very small part of the project. The biggest expense is a lot of this, the mechanical, the electrical and plumbing in this building are in pretty bad shape. It's fixing all of that, which has to happen for the whole building, for the PD, and that's why we need to see how these numbers break down. We just really have to see what's possible once they show up. It may be that the project ends up being so expensive, everything just stops, or it may mean we're surprised, or that there's room to cut things and get within budget. I just don't know. I mean, I don't want to promise anything until we see those numbers and we have a chance to kind of digest what they mean.
Yeah, I would like to go with a more proactive approach and say, like Kurt was mentioning, and I'm not sure what we have about, you know, in the neighborhood of $6 million, and telling the architect, what can you build us for $6 million? Because I'm totally opposed to going to the community for another bond. We already have bonds on the library, the community center, the Voc Ed building, and in this fiscal atmosphere, we're not going to get anything from the state. I mean, state's lucky if they have their doors open in 30 days, so we know there's no money coming from the state. I really oppose to going, you know, even asking the voters for money, because it's, you know, everybody's going to be hurting, and we don't know what we're going to be hit with the taxation through the state, or, you know, our fiscal future looks so poor that I'd rather just hit the architect with, we have $6 million, what are you going to give us for that? And the other thing, knowing architects, they get paid on the numbers they give us. So they're not going to, you know, unless we tell them we want a $6 million building, they're going to give us $10, $12 million, and, you know, because it's business. Anyway, that's my opinion.
Well, and I can kind of, obviously, up to the assembly, but as we've presented this in the past, we've talked about, you know, money coming out of the property development fund, money coming out, in some cases, out of the general fund, or loans from some of the enterprise funds. If the assembly is saying you don't want to use any borough money in this project, we can go down that route and it changes the dynamics quite a bit. I mean, that's not the assumption we've been on, was that the assembly was willing to put some of our own money into this project. If that's not the case, you know, next meeting we can come back and say, okay, here's how much money we have, and or what you're saying is you want a project at that price, we're not going to pull any money out of the borough. Am I making any sense?
No. Yeah, okay. You made sense.
Okay.
Cindy,
yes,
can I add comments to that? I mean, after I read that email that you sent us about what the state, you know, the state's $3.5 billion in the rears, they're going to borrow some money from the budget reserves to try to come, you know, not even, you know, they're going to be short still. We've got money set aside right now, so for rainy days, we want to take money out of our rainy day fund to put it into a building that we may need, well, that I know we're going to need down the line, because the state's not going to be giving us any more money, not for a long time. State employees right now are just scrambling to keep their jobs, you know. And somebody told me that the borough, or there was an assembly one time made up of entirely businessmen, Main Street people that had shops and stuff, and they made sure they didn't tax their constituents to where they couldn't come and shop at their store. So I thought that kind of made a lot of sense here, you know. I don't think we should go and tap our constituents for money so that they have money that they can put into the stores that then we can provide taxes for us and keep the whole thing going. Anyway, it's kind of convoluted, but hopefully I made it simple enough so you understand that. But that's kind of where I'm coming from now. I mean, I would love to have seen this project done 5 years ago. We could have gotten any amount of money we wanted. The climate of the economics have changed in the United States. It's changed in the state of Alaska. I think it's time that we take a hard line here and at least start having that conversation here before we start taking money out of budget reserves that we've set aside for the future, for a rainy day in our own community here, so we don't have to start laying off our employees just to have a building where we're losing funding from the state for maintaining the jails. We're losing money, you know, for the police department, those kind of things. And those are the things that concern me right now. So being a small business owner, that's the way I look at things, is what's our cash flow, you know, what's our income, what do we got to put out here? We better save a little for later, you know, because as a fisherman, my income's like this, and I've had to live with that income, you know. Most people that work for the government, their income does this, you know. So they don't have the same kind of grasp of reality that I do. I'm looking at one of these coming up now. And so here I should have saved a little bit of money. So when we hit the bottom here, we have enough pilot bread and peanut butter to get us through when it starts coming back up again. So anyway, that's just my 2 cents for it. So thank you for indulging me.
Bob. Yeah, and I'd be the same place. I'm on the conservative side. I wouldn't want to see us dip into any of our reserves whatsoever. I wouldn't, it'd be hard for me to vote for that at this point, knowing where the state is and knowing nationally what might happen in the future with the PILT and SRS and some of those things. So I'd be on a pretty conservative
side of that. Based on that, this project ends, and that's what I'm hearing, I can tell you is not best direction to go. We got a police department that's falling apart. If the borough is not willing to put some money into it, the project will die. There's no way we're going to get state money, as you said, and we had said all along we were going to not try to go to the public to ask for more. So the plans we were putting forward was a certain. That's why we put money towards this project. I would like to caution the assembly on that one. It might be best to, you know, we may find ourselves not being able to afford to do it now, but give Jody and I a chance to say, okay, and maybe in a couple years we could by squirreling away some more money to add to our reserves. Again, if the assembly doesn't want to go that direction and says you don't want to take any money out of reserves for this building, then you're probably right. We're probably talking about telling the architect stop now, because the project as designed, we don't have enough money to do it, even with major cuts to it. You can't do the shell of this building and fix all of the wiring and the plumbing and the heating and without pulling money out of the borough to do it.
Jane?
Yeah, to this point of clarification, in summary, what I'm hearing from you, Steve, is that let the numbers come in, and we'll have a further discussion and go from there.
That's where we're headed.
Okay, makes sense. Thank you.
Nancy, did you have a comment?
I wondered, remind me where the $6.4 million that we have has come from.
Almost all of it's from state legislative grants, which do expire a certain time. I don't have the dates in front of me right now. Also, we decided to transfer $900,000 from the property development fund into the project, which brings it at about $6 million. I can email everyone exactly the sources this afternoon.
But so far none of it is from reserves.
The property development money would be that's money.
Counts as reserves.
Yeah.
Is that that's the point of that money is to use it for projects like this. So
I do think it would be helpful if once you get the revised numbers, if we knew when the grants were going to expire too, so that we knew what time frame we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Well, and the jail it's never going to get any cheaper to replace it, no matter what the economy does. It's never going to be any cheaper than it is this week.
Awesome.
Any further discussion on that item?
Just a point of the clarification. I am not opposed to remodeling the jail, Kelly. I understand the deplorable condition of that jail. I've been down there and looked at it, walked through it with you guys. So I just want everybody to know that I'm not opposed to this, you know, but I think I'll feel more comfortable when I see all the numbers, you know. And I don't know, Steve, if
us too.
I don't know if encouraging that guy to say, look at, maybe email them that letter that we got from Kathy, you know, and then just say, this is what we're working with right now up here, you know, so what can you guys do on your part to kind of ramp things down a little bit and then maybe present something a little less than the $10 million that we saw the first go around? And I think I'd be a little more comfortable with them going from there.
And I just want to say that I think if we have any more discussion about not doing the project, we need to really have a long and hard discussion about what the implications and the consequences of that would be. And the public needs to understand that there will be serious consequences to that.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Kurt. I'm sure we're all supportive of the jail's abysmal, and it needs to be redone. But to me, it's also abysmal to try to take funds in this fiscal environment. If we hit our reserves, we're not borrowing because we have no way of paying it back, and we're not going to have a way of paying it back for the foreseeable future. So we'll be wiping out, not wiping out, but severely depleting funds that we put there because they're supposedly needed for that specific department or depreciation for a good reason, and we're not going to be able to pay those back. That's why I'd like to take this proactive approach and say, what can you build us for $6-7 million? And I'm not saying stop the project, because some of these funds are going to be expired and we're going to lose that. But I am saying we're not in a position to borrow, and I don't think people are in a position to raise their taxes. And it's like this, in our last meeting, we raised taxes. It was only $4 per 100,000, but we're spending 100% of what we're bringing in now. So that shows us we have no savings, that we even had to raise taxes a little to cover our expenses. And to me, that's not the way to go.
Do you want to respond?
It's
I look forward to your update, Mr. Manager.
Appreciate it. When we have the numbers, we will have a much better chance and understanding of what the condition is on what do we have to or can we do on the building. And it's our intention to bring the project in under budget. If the numbers show that, great. If they don't, that's when we start talking about how much do we cut. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those things that I think, Kelly and his staff and Public Safety Advisory Board, whatever, but they are the best judges on how to prioritize things. With all respect to the Assembly, you guys don't have to live with it every day. I think so. First shot ought to be Kelly and his staff to talk about what they can afford to give up. And then we get to the harder things, and that's when we come to the Assembly with lists and say, here, from the community's perspective, where do you want to do? Do you want to take money or not? And if the answer is no, we either can afford it or we can't. But
I just wanted to respond to a couple things that you said, John. Steve has asked every department to save back some money for depreciation. So although it looks like we're spending every dollar that we're taking in, some of those are going into pots of money that are intended for things, to hedge against the future. And I understand your point about spending all the money without a way of recouping it. However, I think that in this situation, we're at a near emergency situation in that facility. And I think that those funds are exactly for those kinds of situations. Now, I do have a concern about how we build back that fund, but having been in that a number of times with every elected official we can get our hands on to parade through there, and hearing from the parole officer and the police captain and everybody else about the consequences to state and federal funding and things that we can and can't do there, I think we're pretty up against the line with milking that facility out just about as long as we've been able to, and we need to address it pretty soon. Yes.
Go. I just wanted to comment just a little, just because I'm sitting on my hands back here after going through big projects, millions of dollars, is that, you know, one way to look at it, too, are to put additive alternates on. You come up with your basic, you cannot live without, just the structural bone structure, like we did on the drive down. And I just, from my experience of, you know, having 7 added alternates, and we probably should have had 9 or 10 or 12 and would have gotten the whole thing funded. And our experience with that project is 6 months prior, you had Ketchikan, who bid the exact same thing and was literally able to build about half of what we did because the atmosphere at the time was not near as competitive. And so we had a hugely different project based on the competitive nature of it. And so if you can work with your architect when they're doing this to add, and I know these guys are doing it, and so it's not near as scary. I mean, I know it's scary when you get into these huge projects and you go, okay, it's all or nothing, but these guys are really smart, and they can figure out how to, you know, get the very best project. And maybe there's a point where you go to the public and say, okay, we can do this if you will free up another $300,000 or $400,000, we can get this done. And you can take it in small little baby bites. And so we do have a lot of practice at that. And so you can attack these projects from a little bit more of a organizational process. So just had to
so
put that
in. So thank
you
for not sitting on your hands.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? Are there any recognitions?
Yeah, I'd like to recognize Marv King for his hard work and great attitude over Derby weekend. He kept us all full of ice. He's a great asset to our community. Thanks, Marv.
Thank you. Any others?
And Brad Taylor and his track team there from the...
Oh, yes.
You know, he had a couple of the state champions. And I'm just going to assume it's probably Isabel Ith and probably River Quitsland is who's going to be my guest.
Ben.
If I had to guess.
Ben.
Oh, and Ben Zarlingo.
Zarlingo.
Okay.
Yeah. And I wanted to recognize Jesse O'Connor. If you have not walked by Bushman Park, and I realize Mother Nature has had a hand in this, it's spectacular right now, and it's a nice little place to sit and take a break, and certainly a welcoming thing for visitors. And I also wanted to recognize Jim Rogers. My understanding is that he has been going to the library and meeting with some of the kids there and serving as a mentor, and I think that's a pretty cool thing, so I wanted to acknowledge that as well. All right. With that, we need a motion to move into executive session.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. This meeting is concluded, and we'll move.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real live person who's in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Insurance at 772-3858.
8 minutes after 1 o'clock. Nice afternoon, and that wraps up the Petersburg Borough Assembly meeting for today. They are now going into executive session for the purpose of discussing negotiations with the Power and Light employees.